Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Oops. I was told chapter 22. Okay, so it'll be interesting. Okay. Text 67, translation. There were different transformations of the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being stunned, trembling, perspiring, fading away of color, weeping and choking. In this way, the whole body was pervaded by transcendental joy. As a result, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would laugh, sometimes cry, sometimes dance, and sometimes sing. Sometimes he would get up and run here and there, and sometimes fall on the ground and lose consciousness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, eight kinds of transcendental change taking place in the body are described. Stambha, being stunned, refers to the minds becoming transcendentally absorbed. Excuse me. In that state, the peaceful mind is placed on the life air, and different bodily transformations are manifest. These symptoms are visible in the body of an advanced devotee. When life becomes almost inactive, it is called stunned. The emotions resulting from this condition are joy, fear, astonishment, moroseness, and anger. In this condition, the power of speech is lost, and there is no movement in the hands and legs. Otherwise, being stunned is a mental condition. Many other symptoms are visible on the entire body in the beginning. These are very subtle, but gradually they become very apparent. When one cannot speak, naturally one's active senses are arrested, and the knowledge-acquiring senses are rendered inoperative. Kampa, trembling of the body, is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as the result of a special kind of fear, anger, and joy. This is called vipattu, or kampa. When the body begins to perspire because of joy, fear, and anger combined, this is called sveda. Vaivarnya is described as a change in the bodily color. It is caused by a combination of moroseness, anger, and fear. When these emotions are experienced, the complexion turns pale. And the body becomes lean and thin. Ashru is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a combination of joy, anger, and moroseness that causes water to flow from the eyes without effort. When there is joy and there are tears in the eyes, the temperature of the tears is cold. But when there is anger, the tears are hot. In both cases, the eyes are restless. The eyeballs are red, and there is itching. These are all symptoms of ashru. When there is a combination of moroseness, astonishment, anger, joy, and fear, there is a choking in the voice. This choking is called Gadgada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to Gadgada Rudhayagira, or a faltering voice. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Pulaka, is described as joy, encouragement, and fear. When these combine, the hairs on the body stand on end, and this bodily state is called Pulaka. Om Jnana Tamrandasya Kyananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Militanjina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabhita Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduta Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this verse is describing such wonderful ecstatic manifestation that were exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are all described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. So these are extremely very elevated transformations and symptoms of one who's experiencing the highest level of love of Godhead. So we may be hankering to be able to display some of these symptoms. We may be thinking, when will my voice choke up? When will my tears flow from my eyes like waves, like rain, like that? But actually, a real devotee doesn't hanker for these symptoms. We have the example also in Nectar of Devotion of Daruka, Lord Krishna's chariot driver. So he wasn't just a chariot driver. He also did some other personal services for the Lord. And at times he would fan the Lord while the Lord was sitting on his chariot. And he would fan the Lord with a chamara or with a peacock fan. And he would, by looking at the Lord, he became overwhelmed in ecstasy, so much so that tears were pouring from his eyes. He practically couldn't even see the Lord. So he was condemning. He was condemning those ecstatic symptoms because they were interfering with his service of fanning the Lord. So this is the real mood of a real devotee. He's not hankering for these symptoms. They may come, they may not come. Srila Prabhupada, our wonderful savior and guide, he sometimes, he always tried to control those symptoms. He would not let them manifest, even though he was always absorbed in the highest levels of love for the Supreme Lord. But sometimes some fortunate devotees, some of them are here, have seen Srila Prabhupada where his ecstatic symptoms just overflowed. In Atlanta in 1975, Srila Prabhupada came. He had visited Caracas, Mexico City, Miami, and he came to Atlanta. So he said in his introductory address, he said that I've come from Mexico, I've come from Miami, and now I'm in Atlanta, and I see that your temple is the best. And the devotees went, Haribo, Haribo, like that. So then he looked upon the altar, and in Atlanta there's very beautiful deities of Sri Sri Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, but their arms are like this. They're not like this. They're like that. And they're fairly tall, but as we understand in the Vedic literatures that the symptoms of a great personality are that the length of his arms are as his height. The same measurement of foot to top of head is from fingertip to fingertip. So these deities manifested that feature. And so beautiful, so beautiful. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that I see that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are also here, as they were in these other temples that he had just come from. And he started to explain that they've come so far. They've come so far from the holy land of Navadvip. They've come so far. And he said that they are so kind. And he said, they are so kind. And he couldn't say it again. He stopped speaking. And His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was sitting before Prabhupada, and he became soaked with tears. Tears just don't go this way. But in that ecstasy, they actually shoot like a syringe. So, you know, we can take it from their experience that such things do happen. And Srila Prabhupada, at different times, people would take photos of Srila Prabhupada and different people would say, well, you look very unhappy here. You look very unhappy. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman, Hanuman, Kornitai, Kijai. He said, you look very unhappy here. And Prabhupada mentioned later that that was in his highest state of ecstasy. So we've got no idea what ecstasy looks like. So we shouldn't even try. We should just simply try to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. I was actually preparing for another verse, chapter 22. It said 2.2, 67 to 72. So then I thought, well, it must be chapter 22. So I prepared a class for that. But anyway, either way, it explains the different, it's also describing the neophyte devotees, the Majjhima Adhikaris, and the Uttama Adhikaris. And there were some very important, very interesting statements that come from the 11th canto. The 72nd verse is simply a repetition of the verse in the 11th canto, chapter 2. So, one interesting point is that the Mahabhagavats are endowed with supernatural power to inspire and give success to the Majjhima Adhikaris who follow in his footsteps, and to elevate a Kanishta Adhikari to the intermediate platform. So this is the important understanding, as we all know, that the association of a pure devotee is more valuable than anything. It's more valuable than the results one gets from Ashwamedha sacrifices, things like that. We had a very nice devotee, who's in charge of the Bhagavat program in Vrindavan. I'm trying to remember, Braja Sundara Prabhu. And he was giving a class on the Padma Purana and its references to Srimad Bhagavatam. So when the Bhagavatam was going to be spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, everyone came. The sages and saints came from all over the universe, practically speaking, to hear Shukadeva Goswami speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And the demigods came as well. The demigods headed by Lord Indra, they came as well. And what did they bring? Some of you know. He brought a pot of amrit, deathless nectar. They wanted to exchange the nectar for being able to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. And what did Sukadeva Goswami do? He laughed at them. He laughed at them. And practically, they chased them away. Because there's no, even though that they were thinking this nectar can save Maharaj Parikshit from the bite of the snake, but it doesn't equal the nectar of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And, of course, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is our medicine. This is our medicine for our materialistic consciousness, is to hear these wonderful words from Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to try to always hear them, always to meditate upon these incredible pastimes of the Lord when he's experiencing and he's... This is his desire when he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to taste that love that Srimati Radharani is tasting in serving him. And he can perceive, and it's mentioned also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the gopis are experiencing pleasure 10 million times more than Krishna is experiencing. Krishna is experiencing great pleasure being worshipped and served by the gopis. But the gopis are experiencing a pleasure that is 10 million times more than the Lord. So therefore, Lord Krishna wanted to experience that love. And therefore he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this is what he's experiencing. This is what he's experiencing. I asked a question one time, a very nice devotee from England who's resident in Cape Town, you may know, Shamananda Krishna Prabhu. And I was asking, well, Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting these symptoms. Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he wanted to get him out of Vrindavan. He wanted to get him out of Vrindavan. And I was thinking that, well, the Lord was experiencing these symptoms, but he was very difficult to kind of like serve when you go into ecstasy. I don't know. Sometimes we have devotees who work in the mental field, the mental institutional field, and you have to work with some crazy person. So Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting these manifestations of practically such intensity that nobody could understand. No one could understand like that. But this is what Lord Chaitanya came for. He came to experience this ecstasy. And it was incomprehensible except by his most close associates. When he drowned in the Bay of Bengal and he came out in some form of arms and legs retracted within the body. How could we deal with such things? So these things are only understood and appreciated by such advanced devotees. So we have to understand that our ecstasy is in serving the pure devotees, in serving Srila Prabhupada. And as it was mentioned here, that they engage. The Uttama engages Majjhima and Kanishthas in preaching work to purify the polluted mentality of inimical souls who falsely imagine the material world to be separate from Krishna. Everyone is suffering the pangs of separation from Krishna. That's what we're all suffering. We're all suffering the separation from Krishna. We're not exhibiting the symptoms like Lord Chaitanya, but we're all suffering. We may think, well, I'm thirsty or I'm hungry or I need this or I need that. But actually the suffering is separation from Krishna. Because he imagines that he has no, we imagine that we have no eternal relation with Krishna. I lost my phone yesterday. I lost my phone. Now, I'm from South Africa. I didn't bring my computer. That's the only contact I've got with the past or the future. And I'm sitting here. I lost it before. I was waiting to see if I could come in for the initiation. I didn't have a ticket, but I was hoping they'd let me come in anyway. So they did. But then I realized I took pictures of the beautiful lordships for the benefit of the devotees back in South Africa. And then I thought, no, I haven't taken a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And I admire so much these wonderful features that are there, these programs that are there that are very special and very wonderful. So I wanted to take a picture and then I couldn't find my phone. No. And I looked in my bag and I had a big heavy coat and I had pockets. Oh no, what did I do now? So I was missing my phone. And I was thinking, if I had such attraction to Krishna like I did to my cell phone, I would probably be a pure devotee. Fortunately enough, Vishwan Prabhu had noticed it lying on the stairs there. So we got it back after a few hours. So we're thankful to him for that. But it just showed how much we're attached to so many things in this material world and not attached to Krishna. So we have this opportunity, it's coming up, the Sankirtan Marathon. So this is an opportunity. The Uttama Adhikaris are engaging the Majjhimas and the Kanishthas in preaching work to purify the polluted mentality of inimical souls. So this is what we've been asked to do. We may not like it, but it's our service to the pure devotee to go wherever we can go, however we can, and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That's our service to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is present here. I offered the Guru Puja yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, the last time I offered Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada in Bhaktivedanta Manor, he was actually there in 1977. He came. And we were serving in Ireland at the time, and we didn't know that Prabhupada was in London. And our temple president, Narahari Prabhu, came down and told myself and Adhikarta Prabhu, we were distributing books in O'Connell Street, Dublin. He told us, get your things, we're going. It was only 1 o'clock. We usually stayed a little later. We're going. Prabhupada's in London. And we thought, well, that's not a very nice joke, Prabhu. Because Prabhupada is in Vrindavan and he's getting ready to leave. And he said, no, Prabhupada's is in London. So we packed everything up and we had to take the ferry from Dunleary to Liverpool or whatever, and then drive across, and we came. And the next morning we saw Srila Prabhupada, and it was just a shock for those who saw Srila Prabhupada at that time. You couldn't believe that a person could maintain themselves in that completely thin situation. But Prabhupada was here. And he would come down. He wouldn't give class. And he would be placed on his palanquin on the steps there, right next to where Mataji is sitting. No, it's fine. You're close to there. You deserve it. And he would be listening to the Guru Puja, and he would be bouncing his head and smiling. He was wearing sunglasses, big, dark sunglasses, like designer sunglasses, big ones, you know, because his eyes were so sensitive to the light. And he would be tapping on his hand, in his knee, and then he would go like this. And that meant hit the sky. And I was looking during the kirtan how high the ceiling is. But we thought we could touch it. We were jumping. And I was mentioning before they put this very nice floor here, I got to be careful, that the boards on the floor, they had a bit of a give to them. And you could dance, and the floor would help throw you up. So even a short person like myself could get fairly high if you knew how to do it. So Prabhupada was so pleased. He was so pleased that the devotees were enthusiastically trying to please him by their efforts. And the British devotees at that time, undertook a marathon in order to please Prabhupada and hopefully encourage him to stay longer in London. And this was what we appreciated, that Srila Prabhupada, even though he was in such a condition that he had come to London just to give his mercy to us in his servants here in London. And he traveled continuously just to give his association to encourage his disciples. And that trip, the plane was delayed in Rome for 12 hours. I mean, my flight was delayed in Amsterdam for an hour, and it's uncomfortable. And even they were stuck on the plane. To sit still, the plane's not even moving for 12 hours without any complaint. This was another wonderful feature of Srila Prabhupada's complete tolerance. And I had heard that the disease that Srila Prabhupada was suffering from was so severe that even to touch the skin was like burn, like a burning sensation, like a fire. And he was putting up with all this discomfort and pain just to give his association to the devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he came down And he instructed the devotees, he said, we shouldn't wish that Srila Prabhupada will come down those stairs and give darshan and give Bhagavatam class. We shouldn't wish that. Because Prabhupada can, he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. So don't ask him for our sense gratification. Ask him to come and be present before us. He says, if you want to please Srila Prabhupada, then you desire to want to preach like Srila Prabhupada. You desire that. That you desire. So we took it all into our hearts, and I, some time later, back in Ireland, I was sleeping and I was dreaming. And I remembered that thing, that point, and I said, dear Srila Prabhupada, please give me the desire to preach like you. And all of a sudden, I was back in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the next room, there used to be a, I don't know, I can't even recognize the place now. There used to be a gravel road went behind, and the car would drive up there. And, of course, when Prabhupada came that last time, devotees were here from everywhere. They were here from Belgium, from France, from Spain, from Germany. And German devotees are big size. So I'm a little devotee, always. So I was looking and trying to see, and Prabhupada was leaving. He was leaving. And I was desiring like that. Prabhupada, please give me that desire to want to preach enthusiastically like you. Of course, it was a dream. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see anything but the backs of devotees. And all of a sudden, devotees started moving. And I could see Prabhupada sitting in the car. And he looked straight at me. Again, this is a dream. Never happened in real life. And he smiled at me. He looked straight in the eye and he smiled at me. And he liked that. So that was the closest thing to ecstasy I ever received. And I don't think can do much better. But that's the point. And there's no difference. Srila Prabhupada is right there. He's right there. It didn't take me much while offering the arti to feel that just as Prabhupada was there in 1977, he's also here now. He's still here. And you have a relationship with him. Doesn't matter if you're initiated by him, if you're a disciple, grand-grand-grand disciple, great-grand-great-grand disciple, doesn't matter. You still have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and he's asking you to go out and preach. Distribute the wonderful books that he presented for the benefit of all human beings. So you had the opportunity. You may not rush out today, but start letting that realization sit within your heart. I was speaking to Vishwambhavu when he was saying, a little done by a lot. I think that's. And he was saying that he presented that to Vaisheshika Prabhu, and Prabhu couldn't understand what he meant. But his idea was that if you have thousands and thousands of devotees going out, even if they do just a little bit, that becomes a whole big number. And I've been fortunate to be in Mayapur the last few years when they're reading out the international book scores. Of course, it's in the middle of February. But they're reading out the international book scores. And I've been very pleased and surprised to hear that Bhaktivedanta Manor is, in Europe, number one like that. So it doesn't happen by itself. It doesn't happen by itself. And there are plenty of other temples, I'm sure, Germany and Switzerland and all these places that were so gigantic. And even America, where It was gigantic. Anyway, there's so many stories about preaching and distributing in the UK. But you have the opportunity to go and please Srila Prabhupada in whatever little way is possible. Just like Hanuman and the spider or squirrel at different times. Hanuman was throwing the big boulders and the spider, the squirrel, was just kicking some stones. But before Lord Ramachandra, they were considered equally as beneficial. So that opportunity is there. So, and that's ecstasy. Ultimately, that's the ecstasy that a devotee feels when they've connected, just like devotees yesterday were being connected. Where's Mr. Gottfried? Is Gottfried here? I thought I saw him this morning. Not here. You, yes, Mr. Gottfried. So you're connected. Now you're connected to the siblic succession. And even though you got some jokingness from Pragosh Prabhu, you're connected. And you're very strongly connected to the agency of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So he's asking you, he's instructing us, we can come from Kanista, which isn't bad. Kanista's not bad, really. Majjhima is good. But the real thing is the pure devotee. So he's given us the instruction. So we can take it to our hearts, and we can, to the best of our ability, we can go out and try to fulfill that desire of the pure devotees to benedict the fallen souls. And this is what we're going to meet. We're going to meet these confused people, these inimical souls. Inimical souls. And that's our yoga. That's our yoga. Our yoga is to confront unwilling souls, to get them somewhere or other to make the connection to Krishna consciousness by taking one of Srila Prabhupada's books. So I've got 4 minutes, so I'm going to stop, and I don't know if Madhuji or any of the other senior Vaishnavas would like to add something. You can have a comment, you can have a correction, you can have what is called a reflection, which means something that was said reminded you of some incident like that. So if you're willing to say something, Hare Krishna.